just speaking to Neil Curry during the week, who's the main organiser of Let's Go. He just senses, this is the fifth year of Let's Go, and he's just really sensing that we're going to see some things happen this year, that in terms of just a much greater number of people really getting born again, and you know, a whole number of people getting healed on another kind of scale. God's been talking to him about this being the fifth year and various things in the Word about the fifth year. And there's just a growing sense amongst the churches as well that not only this week is a really key week together, but there's a growing relationship, growing working together of the churches in the town, a real common heart, you know, and vision that we're not here just to see if we can put on a few meetings for churches to have a nice time together, but the purpose for the church working together is to see God really impact the town. See a lot of people's lives getting changed, and just a lot of influence that the church can have in the town in a way that maybe we don't if we just do our individual things. So it's going to be a great week, Let's Go, but it's what also is going to happen after it that is just as important as what happens during the week. Now, I know you ladies have had a great time the last 24 hours or so, and God was doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's great to take time out to give God 24 hours, 28 hours where he can just speak to us, move in our hearts, move in our lives. And it's great to come together, you know, when we do like this on a Sunday morning, where even just for a couple of hours, where we come together, the presence of God is there, God speaks, God moves, God does things. There's things that happen in this room every week that most of us are not aware of. And there's things that go on in people's lives that we can go through an hour and a half meeting and we can worship, we can hear the word, we can pray a bit, we can hear notices and information. But, you know, God is at work all over the place, and it's amazing some of the things we hear during the week where somebody says, well, I was just there in the worship and as I lifted my hands, God just healed me. Or as I was worshiping, God showed me something that just lifted off this pressure. Or God spoke to me and he gave me the answer for this situation in my life. Or there was something that was said, just one sentence in the preach, that God just, it just freed me in the way I thought or the way I perceived myself. Or God just opened up something and showed me how to pray into a particular situation. And since I've been praying like that, everything's changed. And I think we just need to be aware that when we come together, there's a lot more going on than we realize. The way that God does something so unique over there in that part of the room with somebody, and then 5 minutes later is doing something else over there or down the front, something else. And that we can be not necessarily aware of what he's doing amongst us. And then what happens as a result as we go out from here into our everyday lives. And so for me, I was just standing down there in the worship and just listening to the sound of what was going on, just people worshiping. And as Jonathan led through the kind of prayer and other guys came up and prayed, and there are a few words of knowledge to be healed. And I was just standing there thinking, God, it is so awesome to be able to go to a place with other believers and just know your presence and just know that you're touching lives, you're revealing yourself, you're doing things, you're encouraging people, you're strengthening people. A place where we can come just to worship you, where we can just leave all the pressures of our lives out for a minute and just come into a bit of an oasis, if you like, and just know that you're here, know that you're at work, know that you are doing something great in somebody else's life. It's brilliant, isn't it? And in one sense, we want to value when we come together as a body, because there's certain things that God does when we come together that seem to happen in a different way than when we just live in our everyday lives. But yet there's also things that he does in our everyday situations that don't necessarily happen when we come together. And so these kind of times, whether it's the women's conference the last few days, whether it's on a Sunday morning or whatever context, when we come together, God wants to do unique things at any given moment, because when we come together, there's a joining of faith. There's something of his presence that comes in. There's something where he fuels us for our lives, for the vision that we have as a church, because God has called us to be a people of influence. Now, some of you might be inspecting Dave Gilpin here this morning, And as Jenny was saying over the weekend, he's actually in Australia at the moment, so he's not quite able to be with us. No, I don't think he hasn't managed to become two people in two different places yet. But so he's not here this morning. But there's things that I believe God wants to do this week and say this week and next week that really kind of launch us into something that we're going to describe, if you like, as kind of wealth creation. But I want to just give a bit of an overview this morning to something, and then next week we're going to give a lot more detail as to what I believe God is saying and how we're going to move into something that I'm going to kind of describe as an overall thing this morning, but how in detail God wants to give us some understanding about how he wants us to move into something as a church. And there'll be a number of other people kind of sharing some stuff next week to help define different areas of what we're going to talk about. Now, last week, those of you that are here, we had Francis Maude with us. For those of you who don't know, Francis Maude is our local MP, but he's also the chairman of the Conservative Party. And he was with us in October on a Sunday morning when we had an exhibition morning here. We didn't have any meetings, but we turned the whole place into an exhibition area. And he came to look round and just kind of show him what we're doing as a church, and maybe for him to show him that maybe church is a little bit different than he thinks it might be. And at the end of that morning, he actually asked us, could he come back to another Sunday when we're having a meeting, so that he could get to know us more as a church, find out more as to what we believe and why we do all the things we do, what motivates us, where we get our vision from, and why we do all the things we do. And so we invited him back, and he came last week, and he spoke for a few minutes about his own personal faith that he has as a Christian. And then Pastor Colin interviewed him, and I think it was a very interesting interview, wasn't it? And I don't think we're ever going to find a politician that we would all agree with. And, you know, we probably don't all agree with each other in this room about certain things. But I think for a man to, in his position, who has a lot of influence, to come and be as honest as he was, I think we need to respect him and honour him in that, knowing that some of his answers that he gave to the questions, knowing that all of us, probably in certain moments, wouldn't agree necessarily with what he was saying, but yet to actually stay true to what he believes was the right thing to do in his situation, we need to honour that, we need to respect that. And as a church, we're going to continue to pray for him in his position of authority and influence. And we'll just see how God wants to develop that relationship with him as the next few months and years go by. And one of the things I think for myself and Pastor Colin, we spoke to him afterwards about, that he didn't turn this into a political forum for the Conservative Party or for the local council vote this week. He very much kept it on a personal basis of what he believes as a person and the way in which he conducts his life. And really, that's the basis that we wanted to have that interview on, not some big political kind of broadcast for the party that he represents. But while I was sitting there listening to him, and he was speaking about various things and answering various questions, I don't know about you, but it was kind of stirring me about the whole thing to do with influence. And how God has called us as believers to be people of influence in our everyday lives. But also God has called us as a church to be a people of influence in our community, in the region that we're in, but also in the nation that we live in. Now, influence doesn't just arrive in a moment. Influence develops and grows over weeks and months and years, and influence grows and develops by every choice and every step and every decision that we make in our lives personally, but also every step, decision and choice that we make as a church in line with the vision that God has given and the way that we move in the purposes of God. Now, just to use Francis Maude for a moment in this analogy, he didn't just arrive in his position overnight. There was a series of choices, of decisions that were made over a whole number of years that have then ended up him being in the position of influence that he's in. And I think sometimes in our thinking as Christians that we want influence, or we want to pursue what God has said, we want to see the things of God happen, And sometimes we think if we just pray a prayer, that God will suddenly give us a position or a place of influence overnight. How many of you know that influence comes with trust? And if God is going to trust us personally, but also corporately, then we need to, every step of the way, have integrity, do what God says as we move forward, so that God gives us more influence individually, God gives us more influence as a body, but we need to prove trustworthy along the journey. Now, it's interesting that when we talk about influence, what does it really mean? I don't believe God just wants to give us some ethereal influence as a church that is a bit nebulous. You know, God raises up people in places of influence. And there are many of us, all of us, are involved in life in some way. We work in some situation, some environment. All of us are touching people's lives every day, all of the time. And we have a different number of people in the church here who we might say are in more obvious influential positions than others. Maybe some people that are high up in local authorities in different ways, whether it's people involved in the council in some way, people who are involved in the local police, people involved in the NHS in different ways. It could be people in a business world in terms of the boardroom, or they're running companies, they have directorships. We have people that maybe we think are in more obvious places of influence, and God places us, if we can use that term, us, God places us, or the church if you like, in places of influence through people that are in the church. And God has called people to that place of influence because he wants to bring his kingdom purposes into those spheres of society. And God doesn't just do it by the church in a building proclaiming and declaring things. He does that by placing people in those positions to influence, to bring influence, and to give direction, so that the community, the society, is benefited by God placing people of God in those places to influence. Amen. If we just take Joseph as one example, in the Bible, he has a vision, he has some dreams, he shares those things, they're not liked by his family around. And instead of being put in a position to fulfill those dreams of influence, the next thing he finds, he's in a waterhole, and then he finds himself in slavery. That's the complete opposite to what seems to be a place of influence. The next thing, he gets bought as a slave, and he's in somebody's Potiphar's house, who is high up in the Egyptian hierarchy of leadership, and suddenly he's finding he's in a place of influence. But then the next thing he finds, he's in prison again. But then the next thing, as he stays true to what God says, he's then in a place of influence where he ends up running the nation. Now, every step of the way, Joseph was walking a course where he was trying to keep his heart right with God. He was trying to pursue the purposes of God at that moment. And each step of the way, no matter what the circumstances were, God used every moment to give him or move him into the call on his life, but to move him into that place of influence. Ultimately for him, it was to end up running the whole nation and bringing God's influence in there. But God leads us step by step. Now, I want to just go through a few scriptures because we want to kind of describe an overall kind of understanding of how God wants us to influence and how we are part of actually helping to generate or create not just finances and wealth for the vision, but also how God wants to work through our lives, where we are in our everyday situations and lives. Now, in Genesis 1, verse 1, there's a verse there right at the beginning that says, "In the beginning, God created." Let's just take that word "created" for a minute. In the beginning, God created. The first thing God did was to create something. And it describes the way he created by speaking things into being. And when it came to forming man, he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and then he came down and he breathed into the nostrils of mankind. He created life, but he breathed into it. Now, right at the beginning, we need to understand that if God is a creator and he's come to live in us, then we have the creator in us. So God places his creative life in us, and therefore you have the gift of creativity at work in you because you have the creator in you. The Holy Spirit wants to spark creativity in your life today, from today, in a fresh way and over these next couple of weeks. Because God has called each one of us to take that creative nature of who he is, because he wants to spark his life in all kinds of situations in our lives, through our lives, so that his creative life and saving life can come into other people's lives. Amen. Now, some of you might think, well, I'm not a particularly creative person. I'm not that creative. I'm not really kind of arty or musical in that way. But you know, the Holy Spirit can spark ideas. The Holy Spirit can spark things in our lives and enable us to do things that are beyond what we can do in the natural. God can spark giftings that he's placed in our lives. And when he adds his supernatural power to it, things can happen that wouldn't have happened in the natural. Okay, now, let's just turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to have to be fairly quick to get this done this morning. But just 2 Kings chapter 4, situation with Elisha, where there's a woman who didn't have anything in her house. The creditor was coming to take her two boys because her husband died, and she didn't have any income. And Elisha replied to her, verse 2, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Then Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and with your sons, and pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." So she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me another one." But they replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now in the natural, she looked at her situation. When the prophet said, "What do you have in your house?" She said, "Look, I have nothing except a little bit of oil." And the word then that came from God into her situation was, get as many jars as you possibly can, start pouring and just keep pouring. Yeah. Basically, what was the word from God into her life? What have you got in your hand? What do you have in your house? What is it that you've already got at your disposal? Now gather as much as you can around you to fill what you do have in your hand. Use that to fill whatever you can with. And as long as you've got something to fill, as long as you've got something to pour into, as long as there is a vessel, somebody, some situation, to pour what you do have into, you will never ever run out of what you have in your hand. Now, some of us this morning might think, well, I've not got a lot. But what you do have, if you pour with it, if you give with it, if you constantly move forward with it, you will never, ever run out of what God has placed in you. Now, as I was kind of just looking at this and praying about this, I felt the Lord say that the jars are like the vision. The jars are like the future. The jars are like people. And the oil represents the giftings, the skills, the abilities that God has placed in our life. It represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And it's like God saying that the vision that are before us as a church is so much bigger than any of us could fulfill in ourselves. The vision before us is so much bigger than we could accomplish in our own strength, even if we added all our strength together. The future that God has in front of us is so much greater than any of us could ever even hope or imagine to see accomplished in our own efforts. The amount of people out there in front of us, we're never going to run out of somebody to pour something into. And it's like God saying that there's gifts in the body. There are abilities in the body. There are skills in the body. There's an anointing on us as a church, but there's a mantle of anointing on each one of our lives that as we give of what we have, as we pour of what God has placed in our lives, we will never run out of what is in our hands to see God fulfill everything that He has promised to do and to fulfill. And so this lady, as she kept pouring, they ran out of jars at one point. And Elisha said to her, or she said, what do I do now? And he said, go and sell all the oil and then live off the proceeds. Now, one of the things I've been praying about for more than a year now, a year, 18 months, and God has been kind of speaking to us about, that we haven't talked a lot about here, is this whole thing about wealth creation. Now, God has given gifts to people in the body to generate wealth and to create wealth. Some of that through business and through starting companies and people running businesses and people of influence in the business. And I know a whole number of guys in the church and ladies in the church where that's in your heart, that what you do isn't just to build a great business so you can have a great lifestyle, but really underpinning what you do is that God has really given you a vision for the kingdom, and that what you do is part of bringing God's kingdom life into the workplace, into places of influence, and that God has called you to generate or create wealth and finances so that it can actually then, you can bring that into the vision here, you can sow that into the kingdom. Now, as well as, and we're going to come into more detail about that next week, and there's that whole sphere of wealth creation, where you know God's call upon your life is to be in the workplace, in the work world, generating wealth, generating finances, not just for your own income, but to generate wealth for the kingdom. And there's an increasing number of people like that in the church. And I believe God wants to increase the fruitfulness of your lives, but also bring others into the church that are going to generate wealth at that kind of level for the vision at that dimension. But there's also that level where for every one of us, no matter whether you feel like you have got that gift to create wealth, there's a spark of creativity in every one of us. And that God has called every one of us to be somebody that creates or generates wealth for the vision. Now, when we kind of talk about money, some people get hot under the collar, they don't like it, and they get upset, and I normally get one or two letters the following week saying, why do we talk about money? But normally that's because you've got a problem with money. Now, if you don't have a problem with money, we don't mind talking about it. Jesus did not have a problem with money, and he spoke about it the second most after talking about the kingdom. Okay? Now, we need money to get the job done. Now, there's two ways of looking at money. You can either look at it as an owner of finance, or you can look at it that you're a steward. If you're an owner, then you take everything to yourself and you say, this is mine. If you're a steward, you understand that what you have in your hands is not yours, but it's somebody else's that you're stewarding. And everything that we have is from God. And therefore, everything we have, we're stewards of what He's given us. And if we're stewards, then it's a lot easier to hold more lightly to what He's given us to steward, as it were. So therefore, it's easier to receive something as a steward, and it's easier to then do something with it. But there's also another way of looking at money. We can either look at it from the point of view of, this is what I have, so I only have a certain amount to give. So sometimes our giving can be in relation to what we have. So, well, I earn that this amount. I tithe the 10% of what I earn. That's the Lord's anyway. And then out of the rest, well, I'll give that, but I can't give too much because this is how much I earn. So sometimes our giving is based on what we have. Now, I believe God wants to change that whole mindset. And then instead of saying, what can I give in relation to what do I earn? I believe one of the things that God is wanting to help spark in a fresh way for us as a church is Not what should I give, but what can I actually earn? What can I take of what I have and do something with it that's going to generate more than what I could give if I just give out of what I have? Understand that? So if I had 100 quid and I was going to tithe it and I give 10 pounds and then I say, well, I've got this and that and the other to pay out. Well, I could only really afford to give 5 quid more than as an offering. Or I could take that 100 pounds and say, well, the tithe is the Lord's anyway, so that's his. And if I've got that other 90 and I need to spend 80 on this or 85 on that, if I've only got 5 or 10 to give, what I could do is take that 5 or 10 pounds and begin to do something with it to invest something or you know, make 10, 20, and then 20, 40, and 40, 80, 80, 100, or whatever, and actually begin to, instead of finitely thinking about I give out of what I've got, I can begin to take something of what I have and do something else with it that's going to create or generate a greater income or greater wealth, so that therefore I have then more to give. Yes. Do you understand that? And in one sense, we're going to go into a bit more detail of this next week. And if you look in Matthew 25, it talks about the parable of the talents, doesn't it? Where the owner of the business or the kingdom or whatever is going off on a long journey, calls 3 servants together. He gives 1 5 talents, 1 2, and another 1 1. Each talent is worth about £500 in those days, okay? In these days, if you equate it to how much a talent would be worth then, as it would now in terms of the society, a talent would be worth about £1 million. It's quite a bit, isn't it? So this guy turns up, gives 3 servants these amounts, and it says, according to their ability, he gave them what he gave them. The guy who had 5 turned it into 10. The guy who had 2 turned it into 4. The guy who had 1 didn't do anything with it. He hid it, and we know that he had it taken away from him and given to the guy who'd made 10. But that ability is something that grows. See, we're all in different places in our lives, and sometimes we look at somebody else and say, they have a greater ability than me, so I can't do something in that area because I'm not as good as them. But yet, how does ability increase? Ability increases by just doing something with what you have. See, all of us have an ability to love. And if you begin to love, that ability to love grows. Why? Because that ability to love, if it's God's love, it is there by the Holy Spirit. And so as you give of something, you find that you then have a greater capacity to give more love. And then you find you have a greater capacity to give more. Why? Because that ability or that dynamic of love in your life is growing because you're putting it to work. You're doing something with it. It's just a principle, isn't it? What you sow, you shall reap. What you give gets multiplied back into your life, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because there's just principles at work in our lives. And it's the same in terms of some of what God wants to do with us financially. Now, we need to finish in a minute. We're going to go into more details next week of what this means in terms of excellence in the workplace and how God values where we are in our lives. The place that he's put us, called us to be, equipped us, anointed us to be. Because it's out there where there's influence. It's not in here that we influence. In a meeting, we do in prayer, of course, in that sense. But the world doesn't get changed by us talking about stuff in here. You know, in the world, there's a certain amount of money in the world. And I don't know how to illustrate this, but if, say, for example, the height of me represents the wealth of the world, and then from my shins down represents the finances in the life, in the church, in the kingdom, in that sense. Now, there's so many things going on in the Christian world, and there's so much money that's going round and round and round and round the Christian world. There's only a finite amount of resources. There's lots of, you probably get it, you get stuff through the post, you watch certain things on the telly, God, you know, the Christian channels, and there's lots of vying for your money. Send us this, send us that, send us the other. And there's so much money going all over the place within the Christian world. There's only a finite amount of resources. But what God is wanting to do, there's these resources from here up to here that are out there. And we know the scripture, don't we? The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Well, it's time that we got out of this finite kind of thinking of money going round the church and round the Christian world. And actually, we got out into this untapped resource of wealth out there and brought it into the kingdom for God's kingdom purposes. Amen. Now, some of that is going to happen through those that are particularly gifted and called to, as that's what their life is all about, to generate wealth for the kingdom through their business, through entrepreneurial gifting, whatever it is. But also, I believe God wants to release us as a church, as a body, even with the simplest of ideas, because God wants all of us, in one sense, to be creating wealth that's going to finance and help put something into the vision in a much greater way than if we just give out of what we have because we say, this is what I have in the bank, or this is what I earn, so this is what I can afford. And it's like God wants to just put a bit of a spin around on that thinking. Okay, just a couple of scriptures we want to look at because we need to finish this morning. Just look in Deuteronomy 8 for a sec. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. This whole context is where God was speaking to the people of Israel, saying, "Do not forget the Lord as you come into your." As you come into the land, I've promised you, as you come into your inheritance, don't forget the Lord. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. God gives an ability to produce wealth. Okay, let's just look at 1 Chronicles 29. Onwards. With all my resources, this is King David. Well, let's read from verse 1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. Listen to this, what he says here. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for gold, for the gold work. Silver for the silver. Bronze for the bronze. Iron for the iron and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings and turquoise, stones of various colors and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. And then he lists the amount of, in various ways, what he gives. And then it also talks about what the people also then give. But what these scriptures are talking about is how David's whole heart was everything he did in terms of his wealth was for the kingdom. That he wasn't generating any kind of wealth for his own good so that he could store it up. If we read through this, everything that he did was then to pass on to the next generation. So the next generation could move into the purposes of God faster, more quickly, more effectively, because he'd done something in his generation that would enable the next generation to be more readily equipped to do everything that God wanted to do in their generation and then beyond. But what happened as David's heart was to invest for the kingdom of God, all the people then followed suit. Now, when you work out how much they actually gave into the kingdom, it was phenomenal. It was hundreds, equivalent to modern day finances, it was hundreds of millions of pounds. Wow. Pretty good, isn't it? But it didn't line anybody's personal pockets. It was all for God's kingdom and all for the purposes of seeing God's kingdom, God's purposes fulfilled. So this morning, it is not about how do we become a rich church? How do we become wealthy? How do we all drive you know, this and that and the other cars and drive, have big houses. It's not about that at all. It's about the abilities, the giftings that God has placed in us, that creative spark, at whatever level that might be. A very simple idea where you turn £10 into 20, 20 into 40, or whether you're somebody who turns hundreds of thousands into millions, whether you have an idea that then is patented and it produces great wealth. The underpinning all of that is for God's kingdom. We're not talking about becoming personally wealthy here this morning. How do we become rich and all that prosperity stuff? God's called us to prosper, but he's called us to prosper so that his kingdom is built and established. Amen. Now there's a whole bunch of other scriptures we haven't really got time for this morning. But just finish with this. When Paul the Apostle first went into Europe with the gospel, the first few people that got saved, all got saved in the workplace. And it describes them as not just a person that got saved, but it describes them and their world of work. They came across Lydia, who was a dealer in fine purple cloths. And she got saved in her workplace. The jailer, when they were put in prison and Paul was worshipping God in there, there was an earthquake. The jailer was a civil servant. The guy got saved in their workplace, but then his whole household got saved. Same with Lydia, her whole household, and Lydia ended up in a church in her house. Great. Here's a business lady who's got a church meeting in her house. Fantastic, isn't it? You know, how many of you have seen the Amazing Grace film with Wilbur about Wilberforce? A great film. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. If you can sit there at the end and not be stirred about living your life to count for something, however great or small, if you just sit there and go, it's all right, wasn't it? And you walk out and say, what should we do now? Should we go and have a meal or something? If you're not stirred to influence after that, then you probably just need some prayer, all right? Or a spark of the Holy Spirit or something. But here's a guy who turned the tide of a whole way of thinking in the nation. It took a generation to do it. But we heard last week, didn't we? That to actually have real influence doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time. But this guy watching this film, when Jane and I saw it the other week, you're sitting there watching this guy and he was ill. He fought through resistance and pressures, all kinds of stuff that went on in his life. But yet what happened? The tide in the whole nation was turned to do with slavery. Okay, he was the voice for a number of people. But that's the kind of, that's the spirit that God has placed in us. Yes, whether it's in your place of work where God has called you, he's called you to influence. He's called you with the favour of his life to bring his kingdom in, to affect those around you. Maybe you're in a position of leadership or senior management in your workplace. God has placed you there to be such a blessing to the people there, to bring his life and his kingdom in there. If you run your own business, God's called you to generate and create wealth for the kingdom. God wants to prosper you in all your business deals and the companies that you get deals with and that become clients and all of that kind of stuff. And increasingly, God's going to accelerate all of that. And I know, just speaking to a number of you guys who are particularly doing that, just your heart that you want to sow into the vision and into God's kingdom purpose. Let's all stand up, shall we? I know time's been a bit short this morning. And I know we've got a special offering in a few minutes to do with all the outreach that and things that are going on in the next few months, from Let's Go through to the anniversary weekend. There's some things we're doing in Africa in terms of helping a church finish a building there. So they've got a whole base to work out from in their nation. And in one sense, at this point, we're giving out of what we already have. But what we're going to be putting in place, there's a whole number of guys that are going to be really in place to to help mentor individuals, to help people start businesses, to help with general kind of wealth creation ideas that people have. And so we're going to be putting in place over this next month or two a whole number of things, and we're going to have some workshops between now and the end of July that you can come to on different evenings. We'll explain all those next week, just to help begin to spark. I know there's a number of younger guys that you kind of sparking with ideas and things, and so we've got a number of experienced guys in the church who want to help mentor people and help develop people in the kind of call of God that you have on your life, and just some also stuff about the workplace, how God has called us to be as people of influence in the workplace, principles we need to live by and work by in all of that kind of setting. And, you know, we read stuff about men and women of God in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, and all of the guys that had real influence in their nations, they weren't in full-time ministry. Joseph was, yes, he was in full-time ministry in the fact that God had called him, and but yet his full-time ministry was to run the whole nation of Egypt. It's pretty good, isn't it? And the thing that Wilberforce went through at one point, when you watch the film towards the beginning, he had this tension. He sensed he had a call of God on his life, and he understood that then, that if he had the call of God on his life, he should go into the church to become a full-time minister. But yet he also had this burning desire in him to be in politics and to be somebody of influence in that way. And he couldn't marry the two. He thought, well, if I'm really going to do what God says, then surely I've got to do this. And he had a group of people turn up to his house one night, along with William Pitt, who'd organised it, who wasn't the prime minister at that point. And they sat around the dinner table, and this guy put this bag on the table and gradually brought out some chains. And he said, these are the irons for the hands. These are the ones that go around the feet. This is the one that goes around the neck. And they described certain things. And as Wilberforce looked at this, you could see on his face that there was the shock of what was going on. And then the lady next to him turned to him and she said, I don't know the exact words, but basically what she was saying is, you know God's got a call on your life. And you think that means to go into ministry, but you know you have a heart for politics and you have a passion to change something. Let me put this to you. Maybe the two things are one and you can do both. There are only a few people, very few, 5% maybe, that are actually, the call on their life is to work full-time for the church, in terms of being employed, if you like. But 10% max, but probably 5%. The other 95%, the call of God upon our lives is to be in the workplace in all kinds of different spheres and levels of influence, because that's where God's going to work out his kingdom life and purposes, and God's going to give real influence in different ways. And the 5% are not the real spiritual bee's knees and they've got it all together and everybody else is second rate. Not so at all. Because when you read through the Old Testament, Joseph, the influence he had. Daniel, the influence he had. Esther, the queen, changed the destiny of the Jewish people. And I just believe there's something that God is releasing this morning and next week. It's going to unlock a whole new... releasing our own lives individually. Forget the money bit for a minute. It's just going to release something fresh about where God has called you to be, the world he's called you to be in, the things he's put on your heart, the things that you know he's spoken to you about, your workplace, your work colleagues, about your company that you work in, the business maybe you work for, maybe the business you're leading, the things that you see, how he wants you to influence and the wealth that he wants you to create in some way. And I believe God is putting his hand upon us now to step into this as part of the whole bigger picture. Because where we're going, we haven't got the money to get to supply everything we need for where we're going. Praise God, he supplies about 40% of our annual income for the Holy Kingdom of Faith. We've got no idea where it comes from. So he provides anyway. But yet God's saying, hang on, we've got a certain amount here. With a bit of wisdom and creativity and the ability to create wealth that I've put in a whole number of individuals, and then that ability to then spark in others. You can take something of what you have and I can multiply that in your hands so that you can generate so much more than just giving out of what you have. But what it could become in terms of giving in to the vision. Amen. Let's just pray for a minute, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. I don't know, maybe some of this is a bit, maybe some people struggle. It might be a bit difficult to take because we're talking about money like this. But Father, I thank you that when it's time for something, there's a grace for it. And Father, I thank you that there's so many great abilities and creativity and ideas from what we might consider as a little idea through to somebody who's just got, who's running with multi-million kind of things to do with their company and everything in between. But Father, I thank you for the grace that you give to step into this wealth creation, business excellence, excellence in the workplace, that influence in society and in the community in different ways. Father, I thank you that like Wilberforce, Father, he was running with something in his heart that was going to affect not just this nation, but nations, generations of people. And Father, I thank you, you've called us to influence in that way. It might sound big or it might sound, well, who are we? But yet, as we do what we believe you put in our hearts to do, and we take one step after the other, the ability to influence grows as we go step by step. Father, I thank you that as we come into next week and we just look more specifically in detail about these different areas and how practically we're going to move forward so that society is influenced in different ways through the church. And when I say church, I don't just mean standing as Christians declaring something. I mean us as individuals being in the places God has called us to be with God's favor and hand upon our lives. And then God extending influence into those spheres of society, of business, of the working world, of people's lives. Father, I thank you that we have mums in this room that you're going to spark creative ideas with. Because you might be saying, thinking, well, I'm a mum, eh? I'm not in a work world, but yet God's going to spark some creative ideas in these coming weeks, ideas for things. And you're going to say, well, I've got 20 quid I can begin to do something with, or I've got an idea and it's a real creative idea, and what do I do with that? And Father, I thank you, you're going to spark things over these next few weeks in different lives. And we just release that creativity into the body to spark with ideas, creativity. Father, I thank you for those you've got your hand on, who you want to, with that entrepreneurial spirit and gifting, those you want to start businesses. Father, I thank you for those that you already have your hand on who are in that world already, generating that kind of income. Father, I thank you're going to prosper them even more in these coming weeks and months and years. So Father, I thank you for the wisdom as a body as we move forward in this. Father, we thank you that we won't be able to say we can't do this because we haven't got the money to do it. That actually as you finance things through in different ways, Father, it's more how do we channel all these resources into your kingdom purposes and for the acceleration of everything that you're going to do through our lives together as a body. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Just turn to somebody and say, you got that spark of creativity in you. Okay. Now, I'm sorry we've gone over, but it's just important that we really communicate some of this stuff in the right way. Now, we're going to have our special offering. The special offering today, as we've said over the last number of weeks, is going towards all the outreach and mission that we're doing over the next few weeks and couple of months, and also towards some things we're doing in Africa with some churches there. And as we've said before, we put on a lot of things as a church, And the level at which we put them on is because we want to do everything well and with an excellent standard. And in order to kind of do those things at the level, then we obviously need to cover the cost of those things. And for all the people that we invite to any events, we don't charge them for coming. We want to put them on so they can come and in one sense just be blessed and receive whatever it is, whether it's here, whether it's at Rothy for the big fun day we have in June, all the Let's Go events we're doing as a church in terms of reaching out in the community. And we have a certain amount of finances in the life of the church to put towards those that are the part of the regular giving. But really, in order to do all these things in a way that we can do them fully, and in a way that when we all arrive or we're all setting up, we can all look at the things and say, that's how we want to do them. Do you know what I mean? The last thing any of us want to do is turn up an event saying, oh, I thought it was going to be bigger or better than this. And actually, we can determine the level at which we put on these things. Because we want to bless the community, we want to bless people's lives, and we want to show people that when, in one sense, the church puts something on or God puts something on, it's not just a little fete over there in the corner with a few wooden tables and a couple of old naff bits, you know, going on there that we couldn't afford. You know, we want to surprise people, shock people, and people will turn up. We want to see, man, this is not what I thought a church does. You know, this is not what I thought Christianity was all about. Yeah. Amen. So I'm sure some of you have obviously prayed and you know what you want to put in there. If you want to gift aid it, put it in an envelope this morning, put your name on it, and the finance department can follow that through and get the tax back from your giving. If you haven't got any money here this morning, but you know you want to, what you want to put in, write on a sheet of paper, an IOU, the amount, your name, and your address and your phone number, okay? But we would, if you can, redeem that IOU this week, okay, in the next 7 days, okay? That would be fantastic. So as we give, let's rejoice as we just give really over and above, if you like, what we normally do give. That's why it's a special offering, okay, as we want to give into the vision and into the community, into people's lives for these coming months. Amen? Amen. Great.